Good afternoon. We'll call the meeting to order. Madam Secretary, could we have the roll call, please?
Mr. Dano.
Present.
Mr. Dively. Mr. Getz.
Present.
Mr. Hutchinson.
Present.
Mr. Cradaville.
Here.
Mr. Shirley.
Here.
Dr. Webb.
Here.
Mr. Welch.
Here.
Welcome, everyone. We're particularly happy to have, for his first meeting as a new appointee as a trustee, Mr. William Dano. Bill, welcome.
Thank you very much.
Could you say a word or two about yourself?
Sure.
While you have the mic?
Sure. I'm a proud father of two young ladies, happily married. I'm a lifelong resident of Oswego, Illinois. I'm a Rohr University graduate. I'm a 22-year veteran of sales leadership for several different technology companies, and it's a privilege and an honor to be on this Board of Trustees. I'm really excited. Thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Mr. Dively is unable to be here today. He made a commitment before he was appointed, not knowing that he was going to be scheduled for this board meeting. So we're just one board member short of having a full-fledged board here, and we've been trying to determine how long it has been since Eastern's had eight board members, and Judy's going to look that up, but we think it's been at least 6 or 7 years, perhaps,
yeah.
Maybe even longer than that. So we're all really delighted that we now have a full contingent of board members. I'm going to ask Trustee Cradaville if he would make a motion to take us into an executive session.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the board convene an executive session to consider the employment of employees as permitted by Section 2C(1) of the Open Meetings Act, collective negotiating matters as permitted by Section 2C(2) of the Open Meetings Act, and finally, pending probable or imminent litigation as permitted by Section 2C(11) of the Open Meetings Act.
Is there a second to that motion?
I'm seconding it.
Mr. Welch seconds. Roll call, please.
Mr. Dano?
Yes.
Mr. Getz?
Yes.
Mr. Hutchinson?
Yes.
Mr. Cradaville?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Mr. Welch?
Yes.
Dr. Webb?
Yes. For the audience, I anticipate this executive session will take about 30 to 45 minutes. We are back into open session. Among the audience here today, we have a group of graduate students who are majored in college student affairs. We're happy to have you here. Would you stand so we could see who you are? Thank you. We have a position of the board that's created by Mr. Welch's resignation in that position upon being appointed Secretary of the Board, called Member Pro Tem. And we need to elect a trustee for that position. So, Brad, would you conduct that election for us?
I will be happy to. The campaigning has ended, huh?
Pardon?
I said the campaigning for that position
has
ended.
Yeah.
Are there any nominations for Member Pro Tem for the Executive Committee?
I'd like to nominate Renee Hutchison for that position.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Any other nominations? Hearing no other nominations, nominations are closed. We'll have a roll call vote, I think, is what we'd like to do. Would you do that?
Mm-hmm. Mr. Dano?
Yes.
Mr. Getz?
Yes.
Mr. Hutchinson?
I think I left that thing.
Mr. Cradaville?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Mr. Welch?
Yes.
Dr. Webb?
Yes. Motion carries.
Motion carries. Congratulations.
Congratulations, sir. We need to approve the minutes of our November the 18th board meeting. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Mr. Welch, is there a second?
Second.
Mr. Cradiville, roll call, please.
Mr. Dano?
Yes.
Mr. Getz?
Yes.
Mr. Hutchinson?
Yes.
Mr. Cradiville?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Mr. Welch?
Yes.
Dr. Webb?
Yes. I should report I made an attempt to try to cut down the number of roll calls and have us vote simply by acclamation, but the attorneys say that the law does not permit that, so we'll have a roll call for every action of the board, I guess.
Specifically the Attorney General.
Oh, the Attorney General said that.
There could be a different opinion out there.
We have, we want to make one change in the agenda, and I'm going to ask Dr. Perry if he'd make that.
Thank you, Dr. Webb. Due to travel arrangements, an individual who I wanted to introduce under a president's report later in the meeting needs to be introduced at this point, and I'm very happy to ask Blair Lord to introduce our Professor of the Year, Illinois Professor of the Year.
Thank you very much for yielding the floor to me. I'm actually going to yield the floor and turn to Dean Bonnie Irwin, Dean of the College of Arts and Humanities. She basically served as the nominator and one of the folks who helped arrange and structure the application process for the candidate. So, Bonnie Irwin.
Thank you, and thank you for having me back. As you know, when I spoke to you in November, Dr. Rabin was in Washington, D.C., accepting the award that he's been given. So I am not going to take much of your time because I think it's more important that you hear from David. But I will say that as I've been reading the draft of the strategic plan and Eastern's emphasis on both student success and academic rigor, I think Dr. Rabin really personifies the epitome of a faculty member who really works well with that. He joyfully accepts all students into his classroom and raises them up to the top of their ability. We recognized on Wednesday on campus all three nominees for the Case Professor of the Year, not only Dr. David Rabin of the English Department, but also Dr. Linda Gent from Economics and Dr. Jeffrey Stoll from Psychology, and they all talked about their passion for teaching and what they think of teaching, and so we've invited David here to kind of give you a version of those remarks. He mentioned to me on Wednesday, he said, I was admiring his lapel pin, which says U.S. Professor of the Year, and he said he thought it odd that there was not any kind of piece of paper, because generally in the Academy, when you win an award, there's something that's on a piece of paper, and I told him that there actually was a piece of paper that he hadn't seen yet because they sent it to me. And I'd just like to read very briefly. It says, the Carnegie Foundation for the Advancement of Teaching and the Council for Advancement and Support of Education honored David Rabin, 2011 Illinois Professor of the Year, Eastern Illinois University, for extraordinary dedication to undergraduate teaching. So congratulations, David. You want to come on up?
I like the piece of paper. I was told I was allowed to speak just a little bit, so I prepared. Like Abe Lincoln, I keep it in my pocket. This is Illinois. I'm really pleased it says Eastern Illinois University here because that's where I've spent my whole teaching career. It's exciting for me to be invited before the Board of Trustees here, so I prepared a little. Reading through your bios, I was delighted to discover what I expect very few members of the university community know. This may have changed in the last 10 minutes, but the board's three officers are all former teachers. Chairperson Webb was a primary school classroom teacher and principal, district superintendent of schools, and a college vice president. Vice Chair Cradiville was a high school athletic director, guidance counselor, three-sport coach, and principal. My mother was also a teacher and then a guidance counselor for many years, so I particularly appreciate that. And former Secretary Welch, was a high school biology teacher and college professor of biology. And what's particularly interesting, he received the 1991 Excellence in Teaching Award for Outstanding Achievement for Higher Education in the metropolitan St. Louis area. And I am always delighted by this, the people who win teaching awards. It's not necessary or even desirable that all members of the University Board of Directors be educators. We need to represent the community and the state in all kinds of ways of thinking. But surely it is good for Eastern and the community as a whole that leaders of the board understand at first hand the personal and public importance of quality education. Myself, I've been at Eastern a long time. This is my 31st year. So let me give the young new members of the board a little bit of historical perspective, if I may. During my time here, I have experienced six presidents. Also, as Blair Lord and I figured out a couple of days ago, six provosts. And as Dean Irwin can attest, Dean Anbani is responsible for my nomination and everything else, which I thank her. I've had four deans of my college. And as my chair, Dana Ringette, who remarkably keeps a very large English department happy and harmonious, a rare thing in the world, can attest, I've had two chairs during these many years. But I can tell you that about the presidents, that each one was distinctive. First, when finishing smoking a cigar, swallowed the butt in public. The second, and I hope you're listening to this particularly, during contract negotiations, brought coffee to faculty picketing on Lincoln Avenue in front of Old Main. And when one faculty member noted that he didn't drink coffee, brought out a cup of hot chocolate, for which I have forever been grateful. A third acted in community theater and did so excellently. A fourth, and as I understand, and I hope I'm not saying anything that's not true here, but as I understand, exchanged sexual harassment suits with a provost. That has not yet happened, and I don't think that need to be a model for our current president and provost. A fifth was one I liked particularly. He didn't pay in public much attention to the academic side of the university, which suggested that perhaps a president wasn't really necessary. Was delightful for a brief while. Well, I haven't seen Bill Perry smoke or swallow a cigar or distribute hot drinks yet or perform dramatically or sue or be sued or leave academics to run on its own. I have known him to remember not only his faculty members' names, but their accomplishments and their ideas related to teaching, scholarship, university governments, and most wonderfully for an English teacher, books. I've been delighted to see him very frequently listen and respond directly to other people's concerns, privately and in meetings and correspondence, whether it's faculty or administration and staff or members of the community, I think particularly of our new energy plant, where he listened in ways I hadn't been used to seeing by university officials, and to address those concerns, whether he agreed or disagreed with them. He would tell you what he tells us what he thinks, and I really appreciate that. And I've liked most of my presidents, though I've known them differently, but I do hope that Bill has remarkable qualities that make him stand out. And I do hope that he will be my last president, and this for many years to come. Now, knowing that I'm editor of the academic journal Chaucer Review, President suggested that you might enjoy it if I recited a bit of Middle English, the language of 14th century England. I therefore will close these brief remarks with the famous opening sentence of Chaucer's Canterbury Tales, modified just slightly. One that April, with its shortest sort, the drought of March hath pierced to the rote, and bothered every vein and switched accord of which virtue engendered is the fruor. When Zephyrus, the west wind, also in spirit hath in every halt and hath the tender acropus, and the young sun hath in the ram his hard way course he run, and small fowls make in melody that sleep in all the nicht with open e, so pricketh him nature in her courages. Then than longen folk to go on pilgrimages, and palmeres for to seek in strange strands to fern harrows, couth in sundry landes. And especially from every county's end of Illinois to Charleston they went. The holy, blissful Eastern for to sake, where we will teach them if they learning sake. Thank you very much for inviting me here.
Well, thank you, Professor Rabin. We are delighted with your, the board is delighted with the honor that's been accorded you. We're pleased to have a scholar on medieval Europe, and I understand your wife is equally a scholar in that area, so you don't lack for something to discuss at breakfast. We rarely have Canterbury Tales quoted at our board meeting, so it's a first.
Well, Chairperson Webb, I would just add my deepest appreciation to David, and would mention at the panel discussion the other day, he readily admitted there are many faculty at EIU who he regards equally worthy of the honor that he has received. But I will also quote a little Canterbury Tales, but in regular English, from the, I think it's the Clerk's Tale. There's this one part about the clerk, and gladly would he learn and gladly teach. And if anyone epitomizes the gladly part of teaching and scholarship at EIU, it's David Rabin. So from everyone in the university, David, thank you very much for everything that you do and for bringing this honor to EIU. Thank you.
Move to item C on the agenda, purchase approvals. Dr. Weber, will you make that presentation?
Yes, thank you, Dr. Webb. I sometimes think that procurement codes have been written in 14th century English. We do have one purchase approval for your attention today. This is a fire sprinkler system. This is the final sprinkler system implementation as required by state law. The recommended vendors are automatic fire sprinkler from Normal and Bodine Electric from Decatur. The source of funds is local funds, and the details are on pages 3 and 4 of your binder. And at this time, I request your approval of this purchase item.
Thank you. Are there any questions regarding purchases, expenditures for purchases?
I make a motion to approve that motion.
I have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Any further discussion? If not, can we have roll call, please?
Mr. Dano?
Yes.
Mr. Getz?
Yes.
Mr. Hutchinson?
Yes.
Mr. Cradiville?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Mr. Welsh?
Yes.
Dr. Webb?
Yes. Move on to item D concerning the housing rates for the coming year, and call upon Vice President Nadler for a presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Mr. President. The rates are listed in the board book on page 5. The proposed 3.25% increase in housing rates represents the smallest percentage increase requested during the past 20 years. If these new rates are approved, Eastern will continue to offer some of the lowest housing rates and greatest values among public universities in the state of Illinois. The proposed rate increase represents a unanimous recommendation by the Housing Bond Revenue Committee, which includes 3 students from student government and 3 students from the Residence Hall Association. The proposed housing rates are driven by increases in such areas as food, technology, utilities, supplies, personnel, and maintenance. Many of these personnel increases are mandated through union labor negotiations. Part of the overall proposed increase will be dedicated to ongoing capital projects, including room renovations, as well as addressing life safety issues, such as the state-mandated installation of fire suppression sprinkler systems, which you just approved the purchase of. The ongoing improvements in the residence halls are making a significant difference. We know through satisfaction surveys that more than 93% of our students enjoy living in the residence halls, and an increasing percentage of them are returning year after year. It is important to note that no state appropriations are going through housing and dining department. They must raise all of their revenue on their own and be completely responsible to balance their budget and trim expenses wherever they can. The proposal before you again requests approval for a 3.25% increase in housing fees, which is the smallest increase percentage-wise requested in the past 20 years. I'd be happy to answer any questions the board might have.
Are there any questions for Dr. Nadler? If not, could we have a motion, then we'll have a discussion. Could we have a motion to accept these recommendations?
So moved.
Who moved? Oh, Jared, thank you. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Mr. Dano, motion second. Now for discussion. Questions or discussion?
Mr. Chairperson, I would just emphasize that student input is very important in the process of developing these rates, and that it also receives other kinds of student input in the process.
Correct.
If there's no further discussion, could we have roll call?
Mr. Dano?
Yes.
Mr. Getz?
Yes.
Mr. Hutchinson?
Yes.
Mr. Cradaville?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Mr. Welsh?
Yes.
Dr. Webb?
Yes. The next item is recommendations for the establishment of a Geographic Information Science Center. Who will be making that presentation? Dr. Lord?
Thank you, Chairperson Webb. I'm going to do what I did recently, or just a moment ago, actually, and yield the floor to Dean Gotz-Nubia, who will introduce the faculty members that will make this report. As he's making his way to the microphone, I will share that Eastern has had some faculty expertise, educational initiatives, and research in the area of geographic information sciences for some time. This will formalize that and allow new opportunities. Dean Nubia.
Thank you, Provost Lord. Mr. Chairman and members of the board, President Perry, we have been developing and using geographic information sciences at Eastern Illinois University for over two decades. From its humble beginnings in the Department of Geology, Geography over two decades ago, we now have many departments on campus, many units developing and using GIS or GISI technology. We are now asking for the board to allow us to develop a center that will give us the opportunity to pull our resources together in order to increase the benefits that we give to our students and the surrounding community. It is my pleasure to introduce two of our best in this field, Dr. Karen Gaines, Chair of Biological Sciences and a GIS specialist, and Mr. Steve DeNasser of the Geology Geography Department, also a GIS specialist. Please, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you, Godson. I'm very excited to be here today. I am sure that Dr. Gaines is equally excited. I've had the unique pleasure of seeing the development of this technology over the past 25 years. First as a student in the Department of Geology and Geography, later as a returning alumnus to work with faculty in various research endeavors, and now as a member of the Department of Geology and Geography. So first and foremost, what is this business about GIS, Geographic Information Science? It's basically the amalgamation of geographic data and information. So think of geographic data as the objects that we see and visualize and identify on maps. Any discipline that utilizes maps can use this technology. It's in every facet of government, local, county, state, federal, and everything in between. It's big at universities. When you take geographic data and underlying information about geographic data, you have a geographic information system. It's a visualization tool. It's extremely powerful. Very quickly, a brief history of GIS at EIU. Collectively, between biology and geology geography, we started off with the cartography lab. Basically, throughout succession, we've simply changed names. But the technology and what we've done in our respective disciplines has grown with the advent of technology. I'll give you a statistic. This is from the U.S. Department of Labor Statistics Occupational Handbook 2011. Jobs in the geographic information sciences, third fastest growing segment of the job market today. Third fastest. That's incredible. It's projected to have a 20% growth from now until 2018. It's fundamental practice for biologists, archaeologists, anthropologists, folks in business, economics, political science, certainly my own discipline, geology and geography, to have basic GIS skills. The jobs out there demand it. It's why we want to form a center, and I'll let Karen, Dr. Gaines, elaborate on that, in a moment. Integrative learning. This is perfect. We could not find a better tool for the sciences and even for the non-sciences to be integrative in the classroom. So by definition, it's the means with which we can bridge the connections across curricula. Merge the students' professional, academic, and personal life experiences into this transformative experience here at EIU. This is exactly what this technology allows us to do. That stated, I'm going to hand it over to Dr. Gaines, who will elaborate briefly on the construct of the center itself. Dr. Gaines?
What a great introduction by Stephen, and what a great slide to start on. It's all about collaboration. 20 years ago, when I was hired by the Department of Energy as a wildlife biologist, it was because I had GIS skills. I was hired to make models that predict where wildlife occur and figure out the probability of wildlife becoming toxified in a spatial environment. So in terms of the skills necessary to gain employment and to increase our knowledge base of the world around us, GIS is extremely important. And again, to start on this slide, it's all about collaboration. When I got here to EIU, one of the best things that attracted me here with my background in both toxicology and GIS was Steve himself, was his ability, his background, the fact that he is an ESRI certified instructor, and I think those titles have changed over the years, but the bottom line is that he has always been trained in the latest software to be able to train our students as well as our faculty. And so with that, I knew that we had a really great platform to build something here at EIU, and for me to add some dimension, not only through the Department of Biological Sciences, but at the umbrella of the college as well as the university. So again, I'll read a little bit here. In keeping with EIU's mission, our center will provide the foundation for excellence in teaching, research, and service in GIS, with specific emphasis on providing students with opportunities to revise their reasoning and communication abilities to become leaders in the spatial sciences. So the reason why we wanted to form a center was to coordinate this in terms of teaching scholarship and outreach. And outreach is extremely important. Again, highlighting Mr. DiNasso's skills, we are the only ESRI certified teaching campus in Illinois. That's pretty outstanding. We can attract people here from not only universities but private businesses to come down here and get trained in ESRI certified courses. And also attract students to choose EIU because of our expertise. We want to provide facilities where our users can access state-of-the-art equipment and software to support their work. That, again, was another aspect that attracted me to EIU and where EIU has always kept up on the latest software. I still work with the Department of Energy, and we'll be two versions ahead of on the software than some of the government agencies. So we are always at the cutting edge, and so we're providing that leadership. And then lastly, the center will help us to secure external grants. We've been doing very well in bringing in money in the name of GIS, but what we would like to do is expand that further, mostly on the education and outreach realms. Right now, the Geology Geography Department offers an excellent foundation in both undergraduate and graduate coursework. So does the Department of Biological Sciences. There's a minor in GIS out there. But very recently, we've been able to add some additional accolades. One is the Professional Science Master's Program. Within the College of Science, this again is interdisciplinary. It focuses on training our students, our graduate students, in geographic information sciences so that they will be able go out into the job markets, but we also allow people or encourage people who are in the workforce to come in and get the professional science master's and use their workforce experience towards that degree. There's also a graduate certificate in public planning that has been approved, and the Department of Biological Sciences is working on a graduate certificate in GIS. So again, that's where I'll close is where I started. It's all about collaboration, and that's what this center, we've been doing it, but it's going to allow us to expand it even further. So with that, we'll take any questions. Thanks.
Are you prepared to answer some questions? Yes. Are there any questions for Dr. Gaines? Or
Yes. Explain the Macedon Trackway.
That would be an early endeavor.
Macedon Trackway.
Test question.
We're doing some geological work out by the Charleston Stone Quarry. And in one of the soils out there known as the Sangamon, we had noticed that we had some potential woolly mammoth hairs in some of our soil samples. And so we started to clear the overburden and came across these depressions that were regularly spaced that we worked with someone from biology at some point in time years ago to substantiate that they were, in fact, trackways. And so we used GIS software to model, well, to accurately measure in the field. We took measurements of the depressions, very detailed and meticulous measurements, I may add, and we modeled that surface, which is what's in that particular handout there, to see if the stride and the spacing between those patterns, a typical analysis in GIS, spatial of course, would answer the question as to whether they are or are not mastodon trackways.
Thank you.
Are there other questions? In terms of the budget, I notice there's a budget presented here. Is the fund come from monies reallocated, or are they new monies?
It's reallocation. Basically, everything that we need physically to have to start the center, we have in terms of equipment. In terms of some of the support, it will be support from within the department, secretarial work, that sort of thing. And then in terms of Steve and myself co-directing the center, it's reallocation of support time, yeah. Does that answer your question?
Yes. Thank you.
What might be the indicators of success of the center? Your measurement plan.
Absolutely. Let me go here in terms of the objectives, right? I think we have a fairly good assessment plan in place. I think that's in the, well, it might not be in the short document that we, that you have, but looking at our enrollment and having that as measures of success. The professional science masters, we were afraid that when we rolled out we weren't going to have much. We already have 5 students in there, and I have 5 to 10 students that are already inquiring to start in the fall. So basically bringing in students into the center and into the program. You guys also, I know, are having to offer a lot more sections as well in GIS. So that's one measure of success. Using the facilities, right? Using the software, we already know we have a need for that. In the past, and it's been very frustrating, we've had 2 different site licenses for the different departments, and the other departments haven't been able to utilize the software because they haven't had access to it unless they go to one of our centers. And Steve, again, through his connections with ESRI, has been able to negotiate a site-wide license. So again, another measure will be looking at how the different departments are starting to utilize. Third, and related to that, what I would like to see move forward is not only training of our students, outreach, bringing people in, but training of our faculty. It takes a lot for a faculty member to take the time and be able to embrace new software and new concepts. And so what we want to do is brainstorm and try to figure out the best path forward to train our faculty. Again, Steve being an ESRI certified instructor is wonderful to bring them in and start utilizing software so then they can bring that out to their own departments. Many of the faculty in different departments are peripherally trained and they really only need some fine tuning. So again, that's going to be one of our measures of success is how have we expanded it throughout the university in both in teaching and learning.
Are there any?
Do you want to add to that?
Part of that measurement of success, too, is going to be the placement of our students, because that's why we're here. We already have a very high placement of students. My GIS classes, certainly Karen, her classes, they're going like this. It's one of the reasons why we hired Dr. Cronenfeld. The overwhelming amount of students coming into these intro classes, was just that, overwhelming. And I think part of that measure is going to be where we place students. Out of our own department, and I'm sure Dr. Gaines can elaborate on hers, we've placed students at the company that produces the software, ESRI. We've placed them in various capacities doing marketing analysis and so on and so forth. The DNR, the USGS, the ISGS, the water survey. I could go on and on. First and foremost was the procurement of a university site license, i.e. everyone has open access to this technology. As I stated earlier, the technology is so apparent in so many different disciplines and industry on the outside that the demand is going to grow. And so I think that's something key to our measurement, if you will, of success, where the students are being placed. So we have very few students, to the best of my knowledge at least, who struggle to find jobs who are trained in this area of expertise. The wonderful thing about it is that it's so interdisciplinary. It could be incorporated into your history major as a biologist, as an archaeologist, an anthropologist, and so on and so forth. Again, quite simply, any discipline that has a need to use maps can use this very robust technology.
Did you?
He explained the answer to the question.
Do you have a question? I presume that the establishment of the center will enhance your ability to capture national grant funds.
Absolutely, and that is the third point of our objective, is to have a center gives us leverage. to do that. Our first objective is to look at NSF2's grant, which helps us focus on undergraduate education and acquisition of equipment. And again, sort of refocus. We're doing very, very well in bringing in research dollars. We have been. And so now we want to continue that and bring in dollars for our students and the university to maintain the state-of-the-art equipment. So that's absolutely an objective.
Are there other questions? Well, thank you very much.
I'm going to elaborate on that just very briefly.
Yes.
In terms of bringing funds in and whatnot, I believe that Dr. Gaines and her department's, and certainly our own department's reputation precedes us. As an example, only yesterday we signed off on a major contract with a renewable energy firm who does wind farm implementations who are seeking out our expertise. I didn't go out to secure that. They came to us. And the vast majority of the contracts we secure, at least in our own department, are folks who, word of mouth, have heard of our vast and many accomplishments in so many different areas as this technology is applicable to so many. And the funds come in. And I think recognition, it's a very good point, merely having the center in and of itself is going to attract people to EIU, and certainly students.
Are there other questions? Well, thank you very much. Could we have a motion, please, to put this on the table for approval?
I make the motion to approve the creation of the Interdisciplinary Geographic Information Science Center.
Mr. Cradwell moves. Is there a second?
A second.
Mr. Welch seconds. Further discussion?
Mr. Chairperson, I just mentioned that last year the board approved the Center for Clean Energy Research and Education here, and you'll also note in University Highlights part of your board book, they have just recently received a $200,000 National Science Foundation grant, having the center was a key element in that. So that will help us, as Dr. Gaines and Dr. DiNasso have mentioned, to bring further funding to this effort.
Further discussion? If not, roll call, please.
Mr. Dano?
Yes.
Mr. Getz?
Yes.
Mr. Hutchinson?
Yes.
Mr. Cradaville?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Mr. Welch?
Yes.
Dr. Webb?
Yes. You got a center. We next go to the item for personnel contracts. And we'll ask President Perry if he will make a presentation.
Yes. Thank you, Chairperson Webb. Article 2C2 of the Board of Trustees governing policies permits the president of the university to offer multi-year contracts to certain administrative personnel at Eastern Illinois University with prior approval of the board. I'm recommending that the board authorize me to offer the following contract extensions and one new contract. The contract extensions would be for William Weber, Vice President for Business Affairs, a contract extension for the period July 1st, 2012 to June 30th, 2014. For Robert Martin, Vice President for University Advancement, contract extension for the period February 1, 2013 to June 30th, 2014. And for Barbara Burke, Director of Intercollegiate Athletics, a contract extension for the period July 1st, 2013 to June 30th, 2014. Those are the three contract extensions that I'm asking authority to grant. And then also there's a new contract I'm requesting approval to offer to Mr. Dino Babers, the head coach football. It would be a three-year contract for the period January 3rd, 2012 to December 31st, 2014. So I'm recommending that the Board of Trustees authorize me to offer contract extensions to Mr. Weber, Mr. Martin, and Ms. Burke, and a three-year contract to Mr. Babers.
Mr. Miller, I presume we would take these contracts individually?
I think that would be the best way to proceed.
Yeah, That's all. Is there any discussion regarding the recommendation that President Perry has made regarding the first contract, I guess?
Mr. Weber.
Weber.
Mr. Weber, yeah. If not, could we have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Moved and second. Any further discussion? If not, roll call.
Mr. Dano?
Yes.
Mr. Getz?
Yes.
Mr. Hutchinson?
Yes.
Mr. Cradaville?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Mr. Welch?
Yes.
Dr. Webb?
Yes. The next contract would be for Robert Martin.
Make a motion to approve this contract.
Second?
Seconded.
Second, Jared?
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call.
Mr. Dano?
Yes.
Mr. Getz?
Yes.
Mr. Hutchinson?
Yes.
Mr. Cradaville?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Mr. Welch?
Yes.
Dr. Webb?
Yes. Third would be a contract for Mrs. Barbara Burke, Director of Intercollegiate Athletics. Do I have a motion?
A motion to approve.
Mr. Dano?
Second.
Second. Mr. Hutchinson? Any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Mr. Dano?
Yes.
Mr. Getz?
Yes.
Mr. Hutchinson?
Yes.
Mr. Cradaville?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Mr. Welch?
Yes.
Dr. Webb?
Yes. And finally, for a three-year contract for the period January 3rd, 2012 to December 31st, 2014 for Coach Dino Babers.
I'd like to make that motion.
Motion by Mr. Cradaville. Is there a second?
Seconded.
Second, Jared. Any further discussion? If not, roll call, please.
Mr. Dano?
Yes.
Mr. Getz?
Yes.
Mr. Hutchinson?
Yes.
Mr. Cradaville?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Mr. Welch?
Yes.
Dr. Webb?
Yes. Well, congratulations. Okay. All right. President Perry has an introduction first.
Yes. I think almost everyone in the room knows Bill Weber and Bob Martin and Barbara Burke, but not everyone knows Dino Babers. Coach Babers is with us here today. Dino, will you please stand so we can congratulate you and welcome you. Coach Babers has just recently completed his staff. I saw on the EIU Panther website on my BlackBerry earlier today and has a recruitment breakfast tomorrow for some prospective student athletes. So he's hit the ground running and also passing, right? Right, Coach?
Okay. Well, good luck, Coach, and to all of our administrators. We're delighted to have you under contract for the coming year. We have one further contract to consider. Frequently, as I go to meetings and have the opportunity to introduce President Perry, I oftentimes say Eastern's new president. And when we begin to look at his contract, though, he's not so new anymore. And we found that a five-year contract, he's now in the fifth year of a five-year contract. So I'm going to have to come up with a different adjective to explain him. But had a committee comprised of Leo Welch and Joe Dively to start discussions with President Perry regarding a new contract. So I'm going to ask Mr. Welch if he would give a report on from his committee.
Thank you. As Dr. Webb indicated, Trustee Dively and I entered into deliberations on the extension of the contract with President Perry. The board members received a packet of information on dated January 10th with information regarding the president, the terms and conditions of the contract proposal. It comes to you with the committee's recommendation, and it is both my honor and pleasure to move that the Board of Trustees offer President William Perry a 3-year contract extension as president of Eastern Illinois University.
Second.
Thank you, Leo. Second, Mr. Cradwell. Questions for Mr. Welch? Our discussion. Hearing none, we'd like to have roll call, please.
Mr. Dano?
Yes.
Mr. Getz?
Yes.
Mr. Hutchinson?
Yes.
Mr. Cradaville?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Mr. Welch?
Yes.
Dr. Webb?
Yes. Congratulations, sir. Do you have any comments?
As I said to the Board of Trustees last summer in our retreat, we do a performance evaluation every year. I mentioned that my time at Eastern has been, my years at Eastern have been among the most professionally and personally satisfying in my career. I've been honored to serve EIU, and I'm looking forward to serving in the future as well. And I thank the board for its vote of confidence. Thank you very much.
I should say that the board, on an annual basis, has a very thorough evaluation of the president's performance based upon the goals that he sets forth for the year, for the university, and for himself. And we've been pleased to have outstanding results from those evaluations, so we look forward to working with you for at least 3 years.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
We have a labor agreement, I believe, and who is going to, Mr. Miller?
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. The Laborers Local 159 and Eastern Illinois University reached a tentative agreement last September. The bargaining unit ratified this agreement December 1st, 2011. This is a 5-person unit, and it's basically a continuation of the current contract that this unit is operating under. There are no changes in wages. It's recommended that the Board of Trustees approve this successor agreement.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Rob Miller? Could I have a motion, please, to approve the contract?
So move.
Mr. Welch moves. Is there a second?
Second.
Second. Mr. Dano. Are there any questions or discussion? Not. Could we have a roll call?
Mr. Dano?
Yes.
Mr. Getz?
Yes.
Mr. Hutchinson?
Yes.
Mr. Cradaville?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Mr. Welch?
Yes.
Dr. Webb?
Yes. Our next item is the President's report. Dr. Perry?
Mr. Chairperson, we moved my report up to earlier in the meeting with Professor Rabin's presentation, so I have nothing further to add at this time.
Okay. The President's report is, Chairman's report is next, and I would like to distribute, I think you already have a copy of these, but every year the board is to approve the committee, list of committees that is recommended by the President, Chairman of the Board. So I'll pass that out. I think you've already seen it. But if there are any questions, I'd be glad to answer them. Otherwise, the floor is open for a motion to approve the committee list as presented.
I shall move.
Mr. Welch?
Second.
Second. Was that Mr. Getz?
Yes.
Mr. Getz? Any questions? Discussion? If not, could we have roll call, please?
Mr. Dano?
Yes.
Mr. Getz?
Yes.
Mr. Hutchinson?
Yes.
Mr. Cradaville?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Mr. Welsh?
Yes.
Dr. Webb?
Yes. Another item here regarding appointments. There is in the state a board called the Higher Education Travel Control Board. And a representative from Eastern Illinois University is qualified for that board. It can be either a trustee or a member of the staff, and we don't have any at the present time trustees that I'm aware of who have much interest in serving on that board. So we're going to recommend that maybe we can just appoint Paul McCann.
Yes,
I guess
correct.
He's agreed to do it.
Yes.
As a member of that board. Do we need a roll call vote on that?
No.
I suppose not really.
Let's go ahead and do one, if that's all right.
We're to have a roll call vote?
Yes, please.
Yeah, okay.
Mr. Dano?
Yes.
Mr. Getz?
Yes.
Mr. Hutchison?
Yes.
Mr. Cradaville?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Mr. Welsh?
Yes.
Dr. Webb?
Yes. Ready for committee reports? The executive committee met this morning. We spent all of our time getting a update on the current status of the strategic plan, which is nearing completion. And the board has received some homework to do with regard to that, which is to examine, as individual board members, the plan, to make any recommendations that we have for questions or recommendations to Dr. Weber, and that will be on our March meeting for official adoption by the board. Do you care to make any further comments on that, Dr. Weber?
Just very briefly that, as many here know, this has been a year-long process where we have engaged both the campus and external communities. Had many thoughtful discussions as to the present status of the university and its future, and I think we have an excellent plan for the board's consideration. I greatly appreciate all the work that and thought that has gone into the process by the many individuals who have been involved.
Well, everyone has agreed to read it carefully and to submit to you their comments. We also discussed the process the university is going through now or relating to the recruitment and admission of students. Enrollment's down a little bit, and we think it's a good time, and the university thinks it's a good time to study that process. So we're looking forward to the results of that study. The Board Relations Committee, Mr. Cradaville, you have a report.
Thank you, Dr. Webb. I thank Bob Smith, Robert for lining up this agenda. We covered a number of things from the alumni events. There were 14 alumni events this year, Alumni Association. Through January 6th this year, about $17,000 more taken in than last year at this time. Talked about commencement, the support for the commencement, and, of course, for board members to participate. An EIU great Expect Greatness campaign, $48,948, achieved 97.6% of the goal of $50,000. Quite an achievement. Got to mention the athletic Director's Gala Annual Fundraiser. Tony Romo will be here, so I'm sure that will be a highlight for all of us. And talked about the foundation and other things involved there, and all in all, did a good job of preparing us, and that's about all I got to say.
Thank you. Any questions? Finance Committee, we had a review by Paul McCann of the university's investment policies and why they're the way they are. which was interesting, and at some future point, we hope we can have a more general discussion of the board regarding those policies. We also understand that the state of Illinois right now is about $21 million in arrears on its payments to the university. But nevertheless, the team over there has been able to assure us that we should be able to get through this fiscal year without any serious cash flow problems. And so that's certainly an achievement, I think, on the part of your staff. Dr. Weber. The Academic and Student Affairs Committee, Mr. Welch.
Yes, we met this morning and added to the committee Trustee Goetz and Trustee Hutchinson. I'm sure they'll make will make contributions to this this committee. Among items discussed, you've already addressed the issue of the proposed housing rates. We received an athletic update on the grade point average of student athletes in various sports, and they are doing successfully. So that's good to hear. Plus, some of the proposals that were the result of the recent NCAA meetings that may or may not be implemented, but does raise some concern to the university. A beginning semester message to the faculty from Vice Presidents Lord and Nadler revolving around essentially student safety issues and concerns. Basic skills performance, which is a report on the a test for teaching certification, the progress that has been made over the last several years in regard to testing performance. Also, evidence that the new tests constructed coming up shortly, and some of the issues revolving around that type of basic skills performance test. Dr. Lord has indicated there's a distance education committee utilizing faculty to look at Eastern's performance in distance education and the development and future implementation of those courses. Currently, about 3% of student enrollment is involved with distance education in one form or another. And I ask that at the next meeting, that we put on the agenda for the committee to hear the results of the metrics of performance-based funding, which has the committee has made their final appraisal of the type of metrics that will be utilized. These proposals were made to the Board of Higher Education in the February meeting. So we should have some more ideas about how this will impact universities and community colleges as well. It's my understanding that as it currently exists, that under performance-based funding, at this point in time, that college and universities will be held harmless in regard to the metrics. But what the committee is recommending is that performance will be based on performance with potential additional dollars coming to the public universities if they meet performance standards. All that obviously revolves around the funding formulas that the state puts up front in regard to are these additional dollars or not? And that is, I think, yet to be determined. But nevertheless, this is in effect by statute. So now we'll be looking at how these metrics are implemented and the results therein. So I think the board will be very interested in what occurs with this initiative. That's all I have.
Okay, thank you. Any questions? And I presume there's no report from Board Regulations, Leo?
No.
We're going to have reports from constituencies. Have some introductions to make. Back of the Senate. Dr. Methving.
Good afternoon. Thanks for inviting me to appear before the board. I thought this might be timely considering that there are several new members on the board to talk a little bit about what the Faculty Senate is and what the Faculty Senate does, and then some of the things that Faculty Senate has already discussed this year. Faculty Senate at Eastern Illinois University provides recommendations to the president in the administration of university affairs. Of course, it represents all the faculty, and it speaks as the authoritative faculty voice on all academic matters that are not precluded under the Board of Trustees and internal governing policies. The Faculty Senate also serves as an ombudsman in consideration of major academic or administrative planning proposals to promote open communication and assure that all concerned parties are consulted. Faculty Senate is responsive not only to the needs of the faculty, but also of students and all members of the Eastern Illinois University academic community that are involved in sustaining the climate of learning and overall welfare of the university. There are 15 faculty senators, with 5 members elected from and by the faculty each spring for terms of 3 academic years. In addition, the chair of the Student Senate appoints 3 students as non-voting members of the Faculty Senate. The Faculty Senate elects from its membership a chairperson, a vice chairperson, and a recorder who constitute the executive committee of the Senate. The chairperson is the presiding officer for meetings of the Senate and of its executive committee. The executive committee of the Senate holds monthly meetings with the president and the vice president of academic affairs and serves as the liaison between the administration and the faculty. So that's a little bit about what the Faculty Senate is and who we are composed of. I also prepared a few remarks about some of the issues that Faculty Senate has discussed this year or will discuss this spring semester, and some of these you are already familiar with. We already heard discussion of online education at Eastern Illinois University, and in cooperation with the provost, Faculty Senate appointed members to that online learning committee that was mentioned a few minutes ago by Mr. Welch. And the provost gave them a charge, and they will be reporting back with recommendations to the provost later this spring. Another issue that we have discussed has to do with electronic and online learning materials. You perhaps are all familiar that Eastern Illinois University has textbook rental, and faculty are becoming increasingly concerned about the lack of proactive planning to match the rapid changes that are occurring in the textbook industry, as well as the availability of online learning materials. It changes almost day to day in some cases. And Faculty Senate is in the process of formulating a task force that will study the future direction by which educational information is accessed and utilized in support of teaching and learning. Some of you may also be aware that WebCT, which is the learning management system that Eastern has used for, I guess, maybe 10 or 12 years now, is being discontinued at the end of this year. And John Henderson and his staff came to a Faculty Senate meeting to discuss plans for the replacement of WebCT. They listened to our questions and concerned, and I'm pleased that there will be 4 vendors who will be on campus starting next week to provide demonstrations of their learning management system. So I would encourage people to get involved. Those are online. You can, if you go to the CATS website, you can see the dates and the times of those sessions. It's interesting that all 3 of those issues are woven into the strategic plan. If you look at the theme of emerging technologies, it discusses assessing trends in demand for learning technology and the university's ability to respond to the growing demand for ubiquitous learning. And I think Dr. Weber put it properly when he said, anytime, any place, any device, I think is an adequate way to discuss that. Like many other groups on campus, the faculty are also keenly interested in ensuring that we recruit the kinds of students who can make the best use of our faculty and our programs, and the kinds of students that we can retain at the university. We discussed these issues in the fall, and we have requested some information from the Office of Planning and Institutional Studies with regards to the kinds of students that we are recruiting, admitting, and enrolling at Eastern. And this semester, the Senate will continue that discussion, along with the discussion about student retention. And these discussions are timely because, again, many of you realize that we have had consultants from Noel Levitz on campus, and they have prepared reports both on recruitment and retention. And along with the data from the Office of Planning and Institutional Studies, we think that will help further our discussions at Faculty Senate. We have participated as faculty in strategic planning. There were two faculty senators who were part of the strategic planning committee. A lot of faculty also participated in that process, and a number of the members of the executive committee attended both the vision and the goals conferences. The Faculty Senate has just initiated a conversation with regards to a report from the Committee on Shared Governance that was submitted to President Perry. And President Perry provided a response to that report. Among the recommendations which the Senate's discussing is the institution of a university council to improve campus communication, the implementation of a delegate system for elections rather than what we have now, which is an at-large system, and perhaps a reconfiguration of the Faculty Senate. This spring also, members of the Student Success Center Advisory Committee will be coming to the Faculty Senate to discuss retention efforts and the accomplishments of the Student Success Center, as well as the future role of the Student Success Center in retention efforts at EIU. Most of us are painfully aware of the vandalism that occurred in the chemistry department and the physical science building last fall, and this has made faculty more acutely aware of security issues on campus than perhaps some of us were. Vice President for Student Affairs Nadler and Adam Dew, the chief of the EIU Police Department, will be coming to the Senate later in the spring to discuss campus security measures that are going to be implemented in the future. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions that the board might have.
Thank you, Dr. Methvin. Are there any questions or comments regarding his presentation?
Yes. On your report on shared governance, could you highlight a couple of points that were in your report that give us some idea of what your recommendations were or are?
Well, I didn't bring the entire report with me. One of the recommendations was for a universal meeting time for campus committees. That actually, I think, has been referred to CUPB, if I remember correctly. So CUPB is addressing that. One was to create a university council that would sort of sit in the middle. If you can imagine a wheel, it sits as sort of the hub of the wheel with the other constituent groups surrounding it, surrounding the wheel. That one, we just had some conversations about at our meeting on Tuesday. We're going to discuss it again on the 31st of January at our next meeting. That particular, that required really the committee, and so I've invited the members of the Shared Governance Committee to come to the Senate because they can better explain what was meant by some of the wording that was in the report, and that's one of the things we're looking for. The delegate system, so in the past, as I mentioned, what we've done, particularly for the Senate and most of the other elected councils on campus, is we've used an at-large system. And what that means essentially is that it's possible that one group of faculty from one college could end up being on a committee to the exclusion of a bunch of other faculty. And so we are going to talk about that. And then reconfiguring the Faculty Senate is one of the other proposals. Those are the ones that really have to do with the Senate. And
thank
President
you.
Perry may remember some of the other ones. There were two or three others, I believe.
Yes, but I think you've summarized it nicely, Andy. Last summer, I shared with the board the report from the Shared Governance Committee, and I responded in the fall. As much as Andy has mentioned there, I think the point of discussion with regard to this university council is the recommendation of the committee, and the committee was charged to look at shared governance at Eastern to see if there were problems. That was one part of the charge. The other part was to make suggestions for improvements. It wasn't seen that there were problems, per se, but they did have these ideas for improvement. Now, this university council is one that was recommended to have certain authorities that I thought
infringed upon other existing authorities, and I thought that was a little overreach. But I did say I would put together a President's Roundtable to bring the same groups and people together that was suggested in the report to improve the communication aspect of things. All in all, and I'll send the board that memo that I sent back to the committee. The committee also recommended that it remain intact, which I agreed with, and so we'll continue to discuss these issues as time moves forward.
I think there was also a proposal to have a site on the web for shared governance, too, if I remember correctly.
That's correct. So that, say you're a faculty member and we're recruiting you to the faculty at Eastern and you want to find out, well, how does shared governance work at EIU, that there would be a dedicated web page that they could go to.
Are there other questions? Well, thank you, Dr. Melvin and Methvin, and we will look forward to your reports in future meetings.
Okay, thank you.
I believe we have no staff senate reports.
No other constituencies.
Or no other constituencies. We have the next item, which is a summary of the purchases of $100,000 or more.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairperson. This is on page 15 of your binder. We have one purchase in the range of $100,000 to $249,999 to report. That is a purchase of blade servers for our information technology area. The purchase was made through our participation with the Midwest Higher Education Consortium, and it was roughly $130,000.
Any questions on that purchase? If not, we have a deposit and investment report.
The deposit and investment report is on pages 16 and 17 of your binder. As Dr. Webb previously mentioned, Treasurer McCann gave us quite a detailed overview of investments in this report in the Audit and Finance Committee earlier this morning. Treasurer McCann is in the audience and available to answer any questions that the board as a whole may have on the report on these two pages.
Any questions on the report under consideration? If not, we have the financial aid program report. Dr. Nadler, are you handling that?
Sure. The financial aid report is in the board book on page 18. The annual report. We continue to look at ways in which to maximize the dollars that we have available to help our students. Certainly nothing surprising in terms of 75 to 80% of our students receiving some form of financial aid. And we'll look forward to share with the board in the future any recommendations we receive from Noel Levitt's group, the consultants.
Questions? President Perry will make a comment or two about the university highlight.
I'd already commented, Mr. Chairperson, about the NSF award grant. I'd also point out under University Highlights, under the student spotlight, that our EIU Habitat for Humanity chapters made significant contribution, a financial contribution for a new house to be built, and also they're putting in a lot of sweat equity on it as well. As you know, our student community service effort is doing very, very well, and this is just another example of that. Otherwise, I commend to you the other items in that section.
Thank you. Are there other matters to come before the board at this time?
Make a motion to adjourn.
We have a motion on the floor to adjourn. Even before I complete the agenda. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
A second.
Is there any other matters?
Yes. Second by Mr. Shirley. Roll call, please.
Mr. Dano?
Yes.
Mr. Getz?
Yes.
Mr. Hutchison?
Yes.
Mr. Prattaville?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Mr. Welsh?
Yes.
Dr. Webb?
Yes. Drive carefully. We understand the snow's down to Champaign by now, so have a good day.
So...